We've been studying the book of Genesis lately, looking at God's purpose and design for us. And this is a good study, an appropriate study, even in these times. And we'll resume it in the coming weeks. But today, I wanted to take a break and examine a little more closely God's purpose and design for this present unusual set of circumstances we now find ourselves in. No doubt, with all the admonitions for social distancing, with the government requesting that meetings of 10 or more people be canceled, it creates a lot of fear and confusion and uncertainty. But God has something to say to us in the midst of these times. And so we're going to look this morning at Psalm 46. Perhaps my favorite psalm to go to in times like these. And we'll find in this psalm some words of comfort and assurance in the midst of a distressing time. Psalm 46. This is God's word. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is God's word. Let's pray that he would teach us. Almighty God, we have heard already that the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but your word stands forever. Lord, send your spirit to us that we might know just how sure your word is, that we might entrust ourselves to you, the Lord of hosts, and that we might find in you is refuge, in you is help, in you is gladness and strength, even in times of trouble. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know that feeling when you're stuck trying to find just the right word to describe something? Maybe how you're feeling or what it is you're doing or your plans. And you're just caught and stuck and you can't move on in describing whatever it is you're talking about until you find just that right word. I'm feeling like that all the time now. Life just seems impossible to describe. It's unhinged. It's confusing. It's crazy. And from day to day and week to week, I don't really know what to make of it. Nothing is certain. Everything is bizarre. But God gives us a word. He gives us a word in times like these to wake us up, to shake us out of our complacency, to remind us of who he is and what he's doing and what he's called us to be. And he gives us that word. He gives us a word of certain hope, even amid these uncertain times. And we see this in Psalm 46, six words of certain hope that can help us navigate this time of trouble and remain faithful to our God. So let's look at these words of certain hope amid uncertain times. Looking first at verse 1, where we find this first word of certain hope is that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You know, with all this talk of social distancing and canceling meetings and restaurants closing and businesses shutting down, it's confusing. People are hoarding toilet paper and sanitary wipes and hand gel. I never thought I'd see the day. It's absolutely confusing to know what to do. These are almost certainly unprecedented times. And yet, we have here in this word a promise that God is a very present help in trouble. We are not alone. God is with us as a refuge and a strength. And this is an encouragement. This is a certain hope that no matter what trouble may come, God is with us to help us, to help us remain faithful to Him, even in hard times. And so, as unprecedented as these times may be, there's no excuse for us to be careless or to wickedly presume upon God's power or His provision. There's no room for us to just let go and let God, waiting for Him to do something. Because He tells us here in this word of certain hope that He is our refuge and our strength, a help to us in times of trouble. Help for us to continue to be His people, to continue to be faithful regardless of the circumstances. And just as in ordinary times, if we'd wear seat belts to go here or there, if we make sure to save up money to pay our bills and taxes, well, so we should be prudent now and seek the wisdom that God has provided for us in our government officials and our health authorities, and not act wickedly and presume that God will protect us no matter what we do. That said, what we know for sure is that no matter what this trouble is, no matter how long we may endure it, God is with us. We are not alone. And that helps us understand better how to react. And that's our second word of certain hope. You see it in verses 2 and 3. Therefore, we will not fear. It's interesting what the psalmist does here. He says, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved to the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling, though earthquakes may come, though volcanoes may erupt, though hurricanes may come, though cancer may be diagnosed, though pandemics may strike us, no matter what, no matter where we may be, even when we find ourselves out of our depth, unable to stand against the wind and the waves and the mountains trembling, we will not fear. We will not fear. Because though we are not sovereign, though we are not in control, we know the one who is. We know the one who controls the wind and the waves, who orders about the viruses and the sun and the stars in the heavens, the one who rules over all things. And so while it is one thing for us to acknowledge that things are uncertain and scary, it is quite another to be ruled by that fear Now here the psalmist says, even in the midst of absolute upheaval in the earth, we do not need to fear. We can give our anxiety and our fear to Him. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our help. We can call out to Him and we can pray. We can pray for our church, for our members to remain healthy. We can pray for opportunities to help our neighbors to find that certain hope, even amid these uncertain times. We can pray for our nation, our world, to recover from this pandemic. And for many to be reminded who God really and truly is. Because we are not in control. And so often our fears are a reflection of that realization that we can't control anything. When the sun comes up, when the sun goes down, what's going to happen on the way to work? What's going to happen at home? There's so much that is outside of our control. Our anxieties and our fear are a reminder that we don't rule with sovereign power, but our God does. And He rules with sovereign power in a way that gives us strength and help and refuge, even in times of trouble. And so our third word of certain hope is a reminder that there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. There is a joy and a gladness that is appropriate for God's people to have, even in the midst of troublesome times. You know, sometimes you don't realize how good you have it until it's taken away from you. I feel like that just a little bit with regard to our church family. To be able to see one another face to face, to shake hands, to hug, to catch up on your week, to find out what you've been learning, to just fellowship and encourage one another. It's hard to do that when we're not physically present with one another. And it's a reminder of just how precious that community we have here at Calvary is. How important relationships are to us. But the psalmist here is looking ahead a little bit to when morning dawns over a new age, to where God has remade the heavens and the earth and brought His people to dwell in that holy city where the river of life flows forth from the throne of God. And we will be His people and God will be there to be our God. He is in the midst of us. We shall not be moved forever and ever and ever, for He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. He will bind up every broken heart. He will take away every sorrow. That's the word of certain hope. There is a heavenly reality that cannot be taken from us by any power in this world. But this has an impact for us in the here and now. The church in this world, the community and family of God, is a foretaste of that heavenly gladness. And certainly, we are broken and sinful people, and we don't always appreciate that community or practice that community as we ought. And here in this time, when we are physically absent from one another, perhaps it's an opportunity to consider, how have you lacked intentionality in your relationships with the people of God, or depth? Have you let careless words fly? Have you let bitterness take root? Have you withheld that word of hope and encouragement? Have you been afraid to share that word of joy and truth? Now, we have a certain hope that God is our God, we are His people, and there is coming a day where He will bring us all home to be with Him. But we get to experience the first fruits of that joy now. And even though we are physically apart, God has blessed us with so many technological tools that we can use to overcome these things, even from a simple phone call to emails to social media to video chat to FaceTime to all of these things that God has given us. We can take the initiative to reach out and be an encouragement to one another. Oh, people of God, don't miss the opportunity to remain connected as a community of faith, even in the midst of these troublesome times. Our fourth word of certain hope is found in verses 6 and 7, where we find that the kingdoms totter. They totter before the Lord of hosts. You see, the problem with our world, with our nations, with the kingdoms of the earth, is they try to approach problems and deal with problems without any consideration for who God is, what He's doing. This is why the nations rage. This is why the kingdoms totter. This is why the earth melts, because they try all of these things. They try to impose their will upon the world, but God speaks His will, and everything else falls away. And so when we ignore God, when we forget Him, when we neglect the pursuit of Him in prayer and study of His word, then all we're left with is trouble and fear and rage and instability. But our God is the Lord of hosts, Lord Sabaoth, as that great hymn states. It's the Lord of the heavenly armies, the Lord of the angelic armies, the Lord of all the powers of heaven. And that God, who commands legion upon legion of heavenly angels, that God is with us. He's our fortress. He's our strength. He's our help. And so there is an encouragement here that God's purposes will be established. No weapon fashioned against Him will stand. No nation can even begin to force Him aside. No, God's purposes will be established, and we will not be disappointed with them, because He is at work. He is at work for His people. But in times like these, when everything is turned upside down, very often what we discover is that we have not really aligned ourselves with God and His purposes. We've pursued our own desires, like the nations. We rage when things don't go our way because we have been following idols. Money, comfort, prestige. We call out to God thinking that His way is the way of comfort and ease. But God never promises us comfort and ease. He promises us Himself. The Lord of hosts is with us. So we align ourselves with the purposes of the nations. We align ourselves with the power of princes and presidents. We align ourselves with earthly principalities at our own risk. The kingdoms of the earth will totter before Him. But the Lord of the heavenly host, the Lord of the angelic armies, he's with us. And that is a word of certain hope. Our fifth word comes from verses 8 and 9, where the psalmist turns his attention and tells us to come, behold the works of the Lord. It's hard to say what God is doing here. But, you know, we also put God in a box. So often we just think that God exists to do our will, that he's like a vending machine. We punch in our desires and poop, out they pop. But God is about his purposes, and if he were to tell us what they were, we would not even begin to comprehend them. We wouldn't believe him. They would be too wonderful for us to comprehend. This is why the psalmist speaks with such stark language, how he has brought desolations on the earth, how he's made wars to cease. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear, and he burns the chariots with fire. He's reminding us that this God, he is God over all things, and his plans and his purposes are beyond our finite comprehension. But in his plans, in his works, there's a word of certain hope. Because when he brings desolations on the earth, when he makes wars to cease, he is destroying every earthly kingdom and establishing his own in their place. Even as we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He is bringing to desolation the things that are, that he might build what will be forever. And we see this no more clearly than at the cross, where the desolations he brought was his wrath being poured out upon his own Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, as he bore the weight of our sin on the cross. But he rose again to newness of life, and as a result, there is no longer any war, any conflict between us and God. He has brought peace. He has made that war cease. And so no longer do we have to take up earthly weapons of power. We take up the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. We become not warriors for the earthly kingdoms, but ambassadors of God's peace, proclaiming the good news that we can be made right with God. This is what his works have accomplished. And so there's a reminder in this that our world, it's as described in the Westminster Confession of Faith, it is in a state of sin and misery. Too often in the United States in particular, with our comfort and our conveniences, it's easy to forget this is not how the world should be. So it's a mercy that God sends something like COVID-19 to shake us from our slumber, to awake us from our complacency, and to remind us this world is passing away. He is doing a work that will bring something no eye has yet seen, no ears yet heard, that cannot be comprehended. It is so wondrous and so glorious. How can we keep this good news to ourselves? What does it look like, even in the age of social distancing, for us to share this good news, to engage people, our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, our family, to engage people with the truth of Jesus in love, to declare that good news, the works of the Lord? Our final word of certain hope is found in verses 10 and 11, where we're challenged to know that he is God, to be still and know that he is God. So often the cares of this world just drown out our need. We're always so busy dropping the kids off to this event, going to that conference, meeting this deadline at work, driving here, driving there, carrying out these errands. And we get too busy to remember just how desperately we need the Lord. And though we don't want this time of social isolation to continue much longer, there is in this stillness an opportunity to reflect and consider and be reminded that our Lord is God. And he tells us he will be exalted among the nations. He will be exalted in the earth. This is what his works are accomplishing. Will he be exalted in us? Will he be exalted through us? You see, in every trial, in every time of trouble, in every confusing and uncertain circumstance, there is always an opportunity to repent. We might not know why that affliction has befallen us. It might not be for any sin we have done. And yet, in the midst of it, there's an opportunity, a reminder to turn from our idols, to turn from our sins, to turn from our neglect of spiritual things, to turn from our fears, and turn back to the Lord our God, to be still and know who he is. You have that opportunity, even now. If we learn nothing else from this time of isolation and stillness, we have to learn that our God, he has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his calling for us, his church, has not changed. We are still to make disciples as we worship, grow, and serve together in Christ. How will you turn from whatever you have pursued and be renewed and refreshed and restored to God's purposes for you? You may not be able to host dinner parties and share the gospel with your neighbors in their homes, but you can pray. You can read the scriptures. You can be renewed in his calling for you. You can help others. You can leave notes with your neighbors to let them know you're available and let them know your contact information. You can email, Facebook, FaceTime. You can be a help and service to others for the glory of Jesus. God hasn't changed. His calling for you hasn't changed. Our times have changed. They are uncertain, they are troublesome, but we have a word of certain hope, even in the midst of these uncertain times. Our God is with us. He is our refuge and our strength. Therefore, we will not fear, because he is in the midst of his people, bringing them gladness and joy. Well, the kingdoms may totter, the nations will rage, the whole earth may pass away, but God's purposes will not pass away. Behold his works. Behold what he's doing. Everything that he does is good and is for his glory. He is exalting himself among the nations. He is exalting himself in the earth. He is exalting himself in our hearts. So be still and know that he is God. He is our certain hope amid uncertain times. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be our comfort, our hope, and our assurance, and that you would be our help and our strength to remain faithful to who you've called us to be and what you've called us to do, even in the midst of these uncertain times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.